The darkness around us is deep. The day after Super Tuesday, I was in shock. I could not believe that our nation had so deeply succumbed to a politic of fear, isolation, and hate. Driving in my car, listening to the outcome of the primaries, I had an awakening. It was actually a rude awakening, because I had to acknowledge to myself that the fact that I was so surprised was an indication of how asleep I was. How could I not have seen that coming? And it is important for awake people to be awake. And the pain I felt and still feel to this day is for our nation that continues to veer towards fear rather than liberation, towards violence rather than life, and towards isolation rather than the creation of the beloved community. You can see it out there, can't you? You could probably feel it in your bones. And I also feel pain for myself and even shame about the challenges I have in staying awake enough to all of it. That in the midst of a busy life whose daily demands can make an easy out for me, I am not putting myself on the line to create or help co-create a future that will benefit all of us and not just the lucky few. We are constantly co-creating the world with our actions or our inactions, whether we acknowledge it or not. That is just central to Unitarian Universalist theology about human beings being a part of creating the world we dream about or not. And that day I cried all the way to my collegial meeting at the Boulder County Together Colorado faith leaders. And when I got there at First Congregational Church in Boulder, we all sat down and we just scrapped the agenda and just began to lament to one another. Each of us sharing how we were feeling in that moment about the state of the world and about our nation's divisive politics, which are not in line with any of the agendas or the faith values that any of our multi-faith congregations shared. That morning, we were real and we were raw with one another, letting down some of our professional demeanor to let each other into our lives more deeply. And I would say that meeting on March 2nd, was a turning point for our group, which had been fledgling for quite a while. Because that day we covenanted to support one another and to stay awake and active, and we knew that without each other we could not do it. And we've continued to do that, continued to stay awake, to support and listen to one another, and organizing ourselves to get out the vote in November. We've signed on with Together Colorado to encourage our congregations to be 100% voting congregations. Are you guys up for it? Every single one of you voting? Well, that's what, of course, thank you. That's why you've got this voter card here, this pledge card to fill out, and you can leave it in the basket there. It's just a pledge saying you will vote, because statistics show that if you sign a card that says you're a vote, you are more likely to vote. It's kind of goofy, right? And the truth is that sometimes people forget. I asked the first service, this was actually a surprise, how many of you have voted in every single election you were eligible to vote in? That's awesome. I've missed some, right? So I need like a little reminder in the mail, and I encourage you to fill this out, drop it in the basket, and it'll get mailed back to you to remind you to vote. But we're not only going to do that, my local Boulder County colleagues and I. We decided that as faith leaders, we are going to cast our ballots together en masse in October publicly in our religious regalia and make it a media event. And I believe, thank you. And I think we're going to do it We will make sure you know. Maybe people can gather. We're going to find the most public voter mailing place we can find and just go out there and do it. And after the election, we're going to take a serious look at racial profiling here in Boulder County. And we're committed to show up at hearings and other public events that demand our attention. That was a wake-up call for me. And I need to stay awake. And I need my colleagues, and I need you, and perhaps you need each other for us to stay awake. I know my hope gets restored when I can imagine even these small acts that I'm doing, that I'm engaged with, that I see you engage with, when I imagine them coupled with many, many acts across this nation and even across the world of people who are trying to build a new narrative for what it means to be human beings living on this planet together. So where do you go when you feel broken by the state of the world? To whom do you turn? And where does your hope get restored? I hope for many of you, this is one of those places you can turn to be raw and open, and also to find people to struggle with you to create the changes we need to make in the world. Now, this past Tuesday, I attended the Together Colorado statewide public meeting in Denver, and I know a few of you were there as well. Together Colorado is seeking to place a human dignity agenda front and center in our public narrative. First of all, you've heard me say this before. If I am in a multiracial, multi-faith, multi-class environment, I feel like I have had a little piece of heaven. That, to me, is the beloved community. And so there I was, and it's this rare glimpse that I got, and it always catches me off guard, but it totally nourishes my soul. And during this meeting, the public agenda was unveiled that dismantles racist language in our Constitution, that insists on economic justice, and that demands access to health care for all. It's a basic human dignity agenda. Now, it's common in these meetings to have someone testify about the challenges that the status quo places on them. But this time, they did things a little differently. So they had people come up in pairs, which I would have expected, and there was a faith leader who kind of framed the issue. And then another speaker was with them, and that was the person who I was expecting to share about what was challenging to them. And that person did share. But each of the faith leaders shared their stories as well. Stories that could have remained hidden beneath their robes. I listened to my respected colleagues and friends share about their childhood poverty and abusive fathers. I listened to a woman share about the slave stories of her ancestors that she remembers hearing about at the dining room table as a child. And my heart was broken open when a powerful white male colleague of mine shared about his mental health crisis and what he learned about the need for community when he was most vulnerable. Now, a few months ago, when I came up for the title of this service, I wanted you to get on the bus to be inspired to go to Denver next week. And getting on the bus sounds so much better than get in the carpool. So that's why I picked get on the bus. Now, I sincerely hope that many of you will go to Denver and that will be an inspiring morning for you to figure out where your place is. And of course, I couldn't have predicted that there would be a fatal bus accident in our community the week that I was preaching these words. So if this bus metaphor is challenging for you, please speak to me, and I would welcome supporting anyone in that community or elsewhere around that issue. But as I reflected on this metaphor about getting on the bus that I chose so many months ago, and I thought about how broad and wide our covenant to one another really is, I've come to realize that we are actually already on the bus, all bound together on a mutual journey. Some of us have more privilege than others in certain ways, or maybe even on certain days. But all of us are at risk. We are all at risk of letting the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. Martin Luther King often spoke of the interrelated structure of reality, the inescapable network of mutuality tied in a single garment of destiny. Whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. "I can never be what I ought to be," he said, "until you are what you ought to be. And you can never be what you ought to be until I am what I ought to be." So the question isn't really, will you get on the bus? But what will you do on this bus that we are all on together? Will you quietly look out the window and watch the beautiful fading landscape slip away? Or will you stay face down, distracting yourself on Facebook or Pokemon Go? Will you sit forward facing at the front of the bus, lined up with the history that has created this inhumane pattern of human disconnection? What are you going to do on the bus? Are you willing to look to the back of the bus? And yes, there is still a back of the bus to this day. It's a back of the bus that's relegated to people because of the color of their skin, because of the lack of educational opportunities and the lack of their lower economic status. There is still a back of the bus today. Are you willing to look to the back of the bus and let their visible pain touch those pains that you keep deep inside of you? And what if, together, the people on the bus began to chant for a new way, for a new day, a new journey, and a way to follow the right star to our mutual home? The poet Marge Piercy writes, "When does it start? It starts when you care to act. It starts when you do it again and they've said no. It starts when you say we and know who you mean. And each day you mean one more." May we understand how broad and wide our covenant to one another truly is, and give clear signals to one another so we can chart a course for liberation together. Amen.